Late Night City with Pete Price. And now, my story. Real people, real stories.
Here's a nice lady now. Julia Roberts has got a book out. What a title. Life's a Beach and Then. I love the title, Julia.
Well, thank you very much, Pete. I can't claim that it was all my own work. I'd come up with Life's a Beach, and then my best friend said, I think you should have and then dot, dot, dot on the end, because she knew what the book was about.
But that's a lovely title, because life is a bitch, you know, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think it's great. So you're an interesting character. Before we talk about this new book, which is a really interesting book, let's talk a little bit about you, because you're a TV presenter.
Yes, and have been for a number of years now. QVC is just coming up to its 22nd birthday in October, and I've been there, well, I was first face on air, so yeah, the whole time.
Wow. Did I hear that you worked with Jeremy Beadle?
Yes, gosh, that was a few years ago. In fact, that was in between my children. I just had my son, and I was part of the hit squad. And then found out that I was actually expecting my daughter. So I only did about three or four shows with them. Yeah.
What a lovely, intelligent man.
Very bright. Really, really clever and so creative as well.
Yeah, I love that man. I met him through Bob Monkhouse years ago, and I was thrilled to say that I knew Jeremy, and I was very fond of him. And I just realised that you'd worked with him, and that's a bit of a bonus in itself.
Yes, for me also.
Right. Have you written a book before?
Yes, well, not a novel. This is my first novel. I had a book out a couple of years ago, actually. It was called 100 Lengths of the Pool, and it was kind of a memoir. And in fact, I'm pretty sure that Jeremy Beadle got a mention in it. It was about my life, but it was sort of loosely associated with numbers from 1 to 100. And each one was because I was swimming 100 lengths of a swimming pool to keep fit. It was sort of a memoir, but with a bit of a twist. It wasn't in chronological order. But I've always wanted to write a novel, and I hadn't been very well. I'd been diagnosed with a type of leukemia, and went on sort of a holiday as a recuperation, really. I'd sort of been taking my drugs and everything, and after about 10 months, I was on the road to recovery, so to speak, or road to remission anyway. And we decided, or my other half said, right, you deserve a really lovely holiday to a place that you've always wanted to go to. So we went to Mauritius, which was stunning. And the first morning of the holiday, I sat up on the sun lounger and went, I had an idea for a novel.
Wow.
And spent the whole of the rest of the 10 days sort of chatting about the characters in the book and the storyline of the book. And he was chipping in from time to time with ideas. And I was either saying yes or no. But, yeah.
So now, that's interesting you say that. So, in fact, that holiday was paid for by the book.
Well, who knows? It might be.
It will be. Stop being negative. Of course it will be. Now, that is an interesting story when you think of it in itself, isn't it? You go away and then, wow. Can you remember the exact moment it happened that you thought, was it a particular, were you doing something when you said that?
No, just really just relaxing. The funny thing is that I'd never been to Mauritius, as I mentioned, and there's this sort of background rumble of the waves crashing against the reef. And basically, I sort of was listening to this, and it was almost like relaxing and therapeutic. And that was the sort of start of it, really. I think my mind just totally relaxed. And, I think I just, once you've got a clear head, you can think more clearly, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Looking back on the book, are you pleased?
I'm absolutely thrilled. It was funny, Pete, because I was going to go down the traditional route of, getting an agent and getting a publisher, because my other book was published by Random House, who were one of the big guys. I thought, right, you know, that's the way you have to do it. Mm. And then a friend of mine, who's also a novelist, she said to me, they've changed the title of my book. And I'm thinking, I don't want my title changing. And then she said, and they wouldn't let me have the cover that I wanted. And I'm thinking, hold on a second. And she even said that they wanted to take out one of the characters. And bear in mind, to us, the people who've created these characters, they're real people. And it's like, if someone had said to me, oh, no, we've got to take, you know, Robert out of the book, I'd have, you know, well, anyway, I wouldn't have wanted the book to go out, not as I'd written it. So I sort of had a little dabble around and thought, you know, another friend of mine had self-published, and I thought, can I do this? Because it's quite time-consuming. And she was fantastically helpful. She put me in touch with a formatter, and I already had a copy editor for my previous book. So it's, you know, I've done it myself sort of thing, and I'm really chuffed with the way the book looks, the way the book reads. I've had some lovely reviews on Amazon. I think I've got 23 five-star reviews on Amazon. One star. I should throw that in there. But no, I'm really thrilled with it, Pete.
Now, it's interesting because it rests on you alone, you and you alone.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I want it to be a success because I have actually decided that I do want to make a donation from the book profits to Leukemia and Lymphoma Research because they were there for me when I needed them. You know, without the research being funded by charities into the new drug that combats all sorts of cancers now, but it kind of started with blood cancer, you know, I might not be as well as I am today. So it's a little bit of give back if I possibly can. So, and also the book's dedicated to a friend of mine who sadly lost his life to a different type of leukemia. And I think that's another thing that I wanted to sort of raise is that not everybody survives cancer, although the survival rates now are massively improved on what they were years ago. Yeah. It's still not a given that you're going to make it, you know.
So how did you construct the book? Right, you have the idea of the book. Tell us how you put it together and then give us a flavour of the way it goes.
Well, the first character that came to mind is the leading lady, and she's, I can tell you this, it's supposed to be a secret, but she's got this fabulous job. She's a single mum to a 19-year-old son, and she's never had a boyfriend in the whole 19 years because she didn't want her son to have, you know, a string of uncles, to not to put it another way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been on her own all that time, and then he, they go on holiday together, and he likes a diary that she's written about this holiday they've had. So he approaches a travel company and says, you know, I think my mum could be a secret blogger for you. And they give her a job. So she's now got this job where she goes around to five-star resorts around the world and tests them, you know, to see if they're up to scratch and if the food's up to scratch and good for kids, etc. So that's her job. But she has to do it incognito, so she has to have a cover story. So she's in Mauritius, and she meets a British couple there in their late 50s and instantly bonds with them and hates lying to them. The woman, her name is Rosemary, reminds her of a mother figure that has been lacking in Holly's life because her own mother disowned her after she got pregnant. So they bond really quickly, and Holly hates lying to her. And they introduce her to a friend of theirs who's a writer. He's half French, called Philippe. And having not had a relationship for the best part of 20 years, Holly falls for him. So that all happens in Mauritius, and they say they're going to get together when he gets back. But the story then takes on a twist, should we say. And in the meantime, we discover that Rosemary, the mother figure, is actually terminally ill, and she has the type of cancer that I have. Unfortunately for her, they've caught it late, and she's developed a mutation, and there's nothing they can do to save her. So, yeah, so writing a little bit about what I know, it's, you know, there's sadness in there, but there's also lovely relationships between Holly and her son, and Holly and Rosemary, and, of course, the romance angle with Philippe as well.
Now, tell me, how long did it take from beginning to end, from that one moment you thought, I'm going to write a book?
Gosh, now there's a question, Pete. Well, I had the whole story very quickly, actually, probably within about 3 weeks, I'd mapped the story. But then what happened when I started writing, little other things would come into the story. So I guess I started actually writing it probably in about May of 2013, and I had the whole book finished about 18 months later.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I have to kind of fit it in between my QVC commitment. So, I'm pushed for time sometimes.
It sounds like it. Now, if you don't mind, while I've got you on, because it's fascinating, let's leave the book to one side. Let's go down the road of self-publishing, because it will be interesting. Everybody says they have a book inside them. Everybody is told everybody has a book inside them. If they've got that book, you evidently had, you've had two, but that one book you believed in so much, you decided to go down that road.
Yeah.
Tell me how you went about it. Take as long as you want, because it's great help to other people. Many, many people listen to this feature, especially when it's about a book, so they can learn how they can go about it.
Okay. Well, the most important thing is actually not being afraid to get a little bit of professional help, so that you've got the best possible end product, because you can come up with the story and write it in your own voice, and you develop your characters to be real people. But actually, I'm not a professional editor, so I know that I will have written some things that maybe I've overwritten, or I've maybe got inside somebody else's head when I'm supposed to be in Rosemary's head. I've gone into someone else's head. So there are little things like that, because I've never had a writing course or anything. It's just, instinctive, I suppose. So my number one tip would be, don't be afraid to get professional help, both for editing and for formatting, because you can do it all yourself, but actually, if you get a formatter to do it, it looks like a proper book. It looks like any book you would pick up off the bookshelves, properly paragraphed and chapter headed and set into the centre of each page. And they're usually quite affordable. Get your cover designed for you. So find a look at books that you like, find out who designed the cover, and approach the cover designer and get a proper cover done. Neither of those things are particularly expensive, but they are well worth it. Copy editing is a little bit more expensive. And then the next thing to do, you can either decide just to do it as a Kindle, which is actually easier because there's something called Kindle Direct Publishing, which anyone can go onto and have a look at, and it really holds your hand.
Really?
Takes you through it. And if that's what you want, if you just want your book to be electronic, it's simple. Anybody can publish a book. If you want to do what I wanted to do, because I am acutely aware, my mum's just coming up to her 89th birthday in a couple of months' time, and she doesn't do computers. And I didn't want my book to just be for people who are of the generation where everything's electronic. I want people to be able to read a book. That gets a little bit trickier. There's a couple of ways of approaching it. You can, again, do it through Amazon, and they have something called CreateSpace, where it's called print on demand. And so if you only ever sold 10 books, 10 books would be printed. So you order the books a book at a time. Or you can also approach companies and find out how much it would cost you to, for example, have 100 books printed or 200 books printed. So there's different ways of doing it. But the best way for self-publishers to do it really is print on demand, because it means no forward outlay. It means you haven't got a stack of books cluttering up your front room. And you just literally can sell them one book at a time. And the only other thing I would say is that you have to get it out there. If you're on Twitter or Facebook or any other social media, word of mouth is so important these days. So, tweeting about it, getting your friends to tweet about it, putting it on Facebook. I've got a Facebook page where people can see what I've been doing in terms of promotion. It's that side of things is really important these days. And also, if it starts to sell well, then you can approach the bookshops and sort of say, well, okay, I've sold 500 of these, would you consider taking it?
Interesting.
Just to mention, you do need something called, not for electronic publishing, but if you were going to do a paperback, you'll need something called an ISBN number. And you can, if you go online and check out a place called Nielsen's, they'll be able to help you out, and you can register to buy ISBN numbers.
Julie, fascinating. Julie Roberts has got a book out called Life's a Beach and Now. Now, tell me, how did you feel when you went up to your husband after he made that wonderful idea and went, there we are, my darling, there's the book?
Actually, by the time we eventually got the first book through, it was just like, gosh, you know, it's been such a weight. But it is almost like giving birth again. I've got two children. They're both grown up now. But it is almost like giving birth again. It's a very exciting moment. He's been wonderfully supportive. I think he's very proud of the book because he's had a little bit of input. Bless him. Honestly, Pete, every single word I wrote, I read out to him at the end of each writing session, whether I'd written two chapters or six chapters, I would read it to him. And he would then say, I love that, I love that, I love that. I don't think that worked, or, you know. And he would actually pass really helpful comment. Sometimes I listened, sometimes I didn't. So he already knew the book. He knew the story inside out. And I think the best compliment I had, though, from anybody, my daughter's 27, and she hadn't read the book. And, you know, she reads. She gets train journeys into London every day from home. And when we were sort of looking at the final stages of editing, making sure there weren't any mistakes, because that's really important too, she said, I'll proofread it for you. And I'm thinking, okay. And she is quite critical. And anyway, so she sat down on a Saturday morning, and a little bit later that day, I got a text from her saying, I'm really not taking to Philippe. One of the characters. And then I was at work the following night, and I got a text through. She said, I finished it. Well done. It's really brilliant. I'm so surprised. And that meant the world to me, because obviously she wasn't expecting it. She was thinking, oh, it's Mum's book, you know, I better say it's good. But she was genuinely impressed with it, and she's a tough cookie to crack. So, tough nut to crack.
It sounds fascinating. What do you want people that are listening now who are going to read the book, what do you want them to say when they've put the book down?
I want them to really have appreciated the importance of relationships, you know, and love, you know, that actually that's what our life is about, really. You know, the people that we come into contact with and we create relationships with. I think I've had a lot of feedback from single parents actually saying they thought I was a single parent because I just managed to get the sort of relationship between Holly and her son Harry spot on. And I must say, although I'm not a single parent, I did base that on my own relationship with my own son because we're very close. So I want them to sort of really feel that they've read about people's lives as real people and relationships between Holly and Rosemary and love as well. But I do want people to just sort of pause for a moment and give thought to, you know, the fact that sadly some people don't survive cancer, and you know that it's still an important message that we need to get out there to keep raising funds for the new drugs. So I guess that's what I want them to have really been involved with it, Pete. It's part of the trilogy.
Yeah.
The second book I'm already writing is called If You Really Love Me, and there's a little bit of that at the back of the first book so people can get an idea of how the story continues. But I want them to want to read the second book.
Yeah.
I want them to have liked it that much.
Fab. Now, how can they find out more about you?
Me?
Twitter, Facebook?
Yes, I'm on Twitter. I'm at Julia Roberts QVC. I am on Facebook. I've got a special page now. It's Julia Roberts TV, but that's all just stuff about the book. And, of course, they can check out what I'm up to on my weekly QVC blog as well. So they can just go to the blog page, meet the presenters, and click on that to find out what I'm up to.
Fantastic. I've got to ask you before you go, because I'm very curious, why do you think QVC has survived everything?
I think it is because we have never gone down the road of hard sell. I think it is about being honest with our customers, about if they're disappointed, letting them send it back, and trying to offer them good quality products at a reasonable price. I genuinely believe that. I don't think we go for the, this is the cheapest price you can get something for. I actually think we try to be a little bit more honest and say, okay, well, we believe this is a good product, this is what it does, and, you know, we'd like you to try it. And that's why we offer the 30-day money-back guarantee. I mean, you know, when you consider from the beginning of QVC, and, of course, with our call centre based and our warehousing based in the Liverpool area, you know, we've been up there several times at presenters to see the operation. I just think people trust us. You know, they know when they pick up the phone, they're speaking to somebody based in Liverpool. They're in this country, and it gives them confidence. And we've just been voted the country's third most trusted retailer. So people, you know, they have faith in us.
That's a nice thing in this day and age to get that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So what's the book called?
It's called Life's a Beach and Then dot, dot, dot.
Julia Roberts, thrilled to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Pete.
Liverpool's biggest after-hours talk show. This is Late Night City with Pete Price on City Talk 105.9.